Hi, I'm Sam Stokes. I'd like to talk to you about the Intel Commercial IoT collaboration with Microsoft Azure. This is module one of a few modules, and recently I presented with the Intel Commercial IoT team in Silicon Beach and will be presenting in Arizona in April of 2016. So here's some legal notices that Intel puts on their documentation. Please pause the video to take a look at it. I'm going to go ahead and go to next. So what is the value of IoT? Well, we know that the Internet of Things is big, really big. So we're looking at a future with 50 billion devices. Now these will be devices that you create, hopefully. Or you will be creating the Azure side of these devices, the internet side, where you're ingesting the data from the mobile devices or industrial devices, homes, gardens, and elsewhere. And that's where a lot of money will be. There will be 212 billion sensors, 44 zettabytes, which is a lot, and 85% of these could be unconnected. So the cost of sensors have dropped by 2 times over the past 10 years, and the cost of bandwidth is decreasing rapidly, although not everyone or every sensor will be able to directly connect with data at a cost that the local economy can afford. And the cost of processing is dropping rapidly thanks to Moore's Law and Intel. So what is the impact? Let's think about HVAC, point of sales. We've seen a lot of this, and point of sales have been a big security problem. So we'll take a look at how Intel is dealing with this. Industrial and manufacturing, we see robots. We see efficiencies using mobile systems, making sure products don't spoil, rust, or go bad in other ways. Drivers, well, we have the Google car as an example. We have other devices that are performing transportation. Many of the ports will be using robots to unload ships. And so we are seeing a world that is filled with great examples of what the future will be. Will you be part of it? Intel and Microsoft hopes that you will be. So what is the architecture of an Intel IoT solution, and what are the challenges? We have legacy systems out there. I mean, we have legacy systems that are decades old. Items like cameras, which are difficult to replace or maybe not cost effective. If they operate, let's keep using them. They may not be built for the internet. We have robots. I mean, robots have been around using hydraulics approach to programming, and these may need to be updated, and the cost of updating a robot, even a simple robot, can be very expensive. Energy grid needs to be updated. Homes, smart homes, there's been attempts at smart home technology since 1980, and currently high-end homes over $1 million that are being built new may have IoT systems built into them, but usually those systems may be a little out of date because architects and civil engineers are using what's available currently, not what is maybe the best solution. So we have isolated and purpose-built solutions. So an isolated solution could be a camera that is simply tied by a coax cable to a VHS machine, let's say. Or a purpose-built solution could be a humidity sensor that's used inside of a refrigerator that's not connected to the internet. These devices are static. They can't make use of the internet evolution and revolution. What that means is that isolated camera that's tied coaxially to perhaps an ancient VHS machine or even an older computer that's not connected to the internet is not going to be able to be utilized, let's say, in detecting a hit and run in front of the store, or allowing the store owner to detect shrinkage or theft. The purpose-built solution, such as that humidity detector sitting inside of a refrigerator, may not even be able to be reached in any sensible way, and the whole device would have to be replaced at a fairly large cost. And these can be costly to maintain and update. As an example of the humidity sensor inside of a refrigerator, which may cost $5 or $6 to replace it so that it has a Bluetooth in it, would cost perhaps $150 to get the technician to the home, and then maybe another $100 for the technician to actually do the servicing and replacement, and then perhaps another $50 or $70 to be able to get somebody to help the homeowner make sure that the Bluetooth is operational on their phone. And they also may be using old and outdated technology, perhaps IEEE 488 or some of these older technologies, which you occasionally do see in CNC technology, which is the numerical control of machines. They're locked into non-competitive providers. As an example, perhaps Maytag has been using one provider for their humidity sensor inside the refrigerators, but Maytag doesn't make refrigerators, you say. Well, that's correct. I'm making up this scenario. And they may be purchasing from a company that has a lock-in with Maytag for a number of years, and their products are not price compatible. No computation or limited computation, limited bandwidth, limited storage. Certainly, our humidity sensor inside of the refrigerator is going to do little more than turn on a green light that says humidity okay and red light that says humidity not good. So now we can't analyze the humidity inside of commercial refrigerators, which could have impact on companies like McDonald's or Burger King or other large-scale systems. And not having the correct humidity may affect the spoilage of these products. So there's challenges to the IoT scale, and what are these? Security is a big issue. If we think about retail locations, there have been recently large retail hacks by people simply replacing the credit card readers. And the credit card readers didn't have a way to verify that they were supposed to be there, and so credit card information was stolen by the from the consumers. Privacy, as well as legal compliance, is also an issue. Legal compliance is best done if a city that allows slot machines, as an example, is able to make sure that they can check the slot machine compliance at a central location. Because Las Vegas has literally hundreds of thousands of slot machines. So it would be impossible for an inspector to go and look at each device. Then the industry markets are fragmented. You may have a slot machine using one technology by one company and a slot machine using technology by another company. And this can create problems with the compliance component. So, in our example now of the slot machine, we may have integration issues between the IoT and the Internet of Things. And so, this legacy infrastructure can cost a lot of money, which lowers profits. Now, with our slot machine example, the data that's coming out of the slot machines can be very important for hotels to be able to determine how much floor space they should allow for these slot machines versus having regular gaming tables. And not being able to see this data in a centralized manner is quite a problem. And also, we lack if we aren't using the standards for interoperability, that means that the market potential for small companies is limited. And people get locked into certain technologies. So the Intel IoT platform value proposition is that there's vertical specific analytics and applications. You have security, manageability, the connectivity performance, as well as interoperability and analytics. The Intel develops these algorithms and architectures and tools for predictive analytics. And then you can run them either on the Intel cloud system or the Microsoft cloud system. This allows you to avoid vendor lock and gives you the ability to either work with a company that is great at building the internals of the things of the Internet of Things, or you can work with a company that's great at doing the Internet component. So let's take a look at how these things work together. The Intel Edison and Microsoft Azure Edge to Cloud solution. So we have smart things, which might be a robot, a car, a phone even, or a game, a slot machine. And so basically these are pulling in data from sensors, or you're going to interact with the motors and these kind of things. You need to manage the things of the Internet of Things. You need developer tools, and you need a choice of developer tools. So you could either use Visual Studio from Microsoft, or you could use the Intel XDK. The Intel XDK does have a couple of advantages. It is designed very tightly to use Node.js if you need to use C or C++. Visual Studio is probably a better choice simply because of the ease of use of Visual Studio. Of course, if you're not using Windows, then the Intel XDK is a good option over Visual Studio. Of course, you can use it to on the Mac, Apple, or the Linux systems. Now, cloud management, unlocking the value of data. Now, the value of data, there's always been this question about big data, but if we're not actually good at getting the big data, then there's not going to be much money in it. So we need to make sure we're getting this data, let's say from our slot machines. So now how do you visualize? As an example, you're a floor manager for one of the casinos in Las Vegas. How do you visualize which types of slot machines bring in the most money? Having a dashboard, having your floor manager actually having to do, say, Poisson equations or a Raylene equation might be out of their job description, but having somebody generate a visual representation of these kind of probabilistic equations is a much better way. And now your manager can help manage, your floor manager can help the CEOs and CFOs better understand how the slot machines are being utilized. You can also use APIs and third-party cloud connections, and you also get end-to-end security. So inside of your slot machine, you're able to use the Intel Edison secure systems, and then also on the other side, use Microsoft's Azure highly secured cloud solution. The Intel IoT platform. This is a definition of the IoT end-to-end solution, and I think this is a very dense chart, but it is also one that deserves study. So we can see data flows, we can have a better understanding how sensors and actuators or motors and that kind of thing can be working with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and other technologies, although I think Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and mesh will probably be the ones that you're usually working with in general. So now you have a network infrastructure, which might be Windows Server, and then you're pushing it out into the cloud. Now there's a number of clouds that you can choose from, there's no doubt about that, and of course you're going to choose the ones best for you. We're hoping that Microsoft is the best cloud for you. And here we see some of the ways that the cloud works. We broker the data, we ingest the data, and then do processing, and then we take a look at the concurrency. We have the device attestation, security and configuration management, and now we also look at asset info, The policies, which in our example of the slot machine, will be both legal as well as corporate. We're able to do queries on the data as we work through the day and whose grandma is spending your inheritance on the slot machine. You have storage. You may need to store data for a long time. Let's say somebody loses a great deal of money. You need to make sure you're storing that in case of legal reasons. You need to compute the data. As an example, with our slot machine, you may need to compute the data so that you can determine which leased slot machine is making the most money for you, and then begin to adapt your floor to those types of slot machines. You also have analytics, and that's part of analyzing the life of a slot machine. So an I Dream a Genie may have a slot machine may have a certain lifetime. It may be fun during the summer and during the winter. Maybe people like something with the frozen theme, which is kind of creepy, but there you go. And so you have your business logic. This could be perhaps you have a workflow using logic apps. You have service or your services. As an example, if somebody wins, you may want to follow up with other items such as making sure that they spend their money on a bigger suite, more food, so that you can get the money back from them that they won, if that's your goal. Or you may want to help them invest a large amount of money because you have a good heart as a casino owner. There's also APIs and libraries and that you can use, and there are many of these. For example, MongoDB runs on the Microsoft Azure, and many of our third-party partners, Linux runs on Azure and so forth. So you can use your own systems, VMs, and so forth. A business portal, this might be a place where where the company that leases the slot machines to you can come in and see how their slot machines are doing, what kind of designs they need to be considering, that kind of thing. Also, the other thing about a business portal for a slot machine might be legal, so the local governing agency can come in and take a look at your system. So with Intel and Microsoft Azure, you're using the best of Intel with the best of Microsoft Azure, and we've discussed the value of IoT, the architecture, and the challenges we would meet and succeed at meeting with using the best of these two corporations. Thank you for your time. This is the first in a series of videos. Please take a look at the other ones. We'll be getting into technology in the slides in, not in the next one, but the one after that. The next one will be going over Azure more, and that then the third one in the series will go over how to set up an entire simulated system on your PC or Mac, Apple, or a Linux machine. Thank you very much for your time.